This Sunday night episode recap of Big Brother All-Stars is sponsored by BetUS. Football, basketball, and baseball are back, and it's time to get down your bets. BetUS is the pioneer in online betting with more than 25 years in the biz. You need a sports book with integrity and longevity, and you need to know that you're going to get paid. You need a sports book that offers everything, including live betting, MMA, golf, horses, esports, and all kinds of crazy bets. Call today at 1-800-69-BET-US. That's 1-800-69-BET-US. And they will walk you through setting up an account. Nobody in the industry gives you better bonuses than BET-US. Join now. Mention Rob as a podcast and you can get a 150% in bonuses on your first deposit. Nobody beats that. 25 years in the biz, the best bonuses, BetUS should be your sportsbook. BetUS.com. Join today. That's BetUS.com. Join now. Mention Rob as a podcast and you could get up to 150% in bonuses on your first deposit. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast, and now here's the guy who's behind schedule tonight, not because of any tech issues, but because I was all ready to go and just sat here Memphis style for about 15 minutes. I'm Rob Cicerino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast here, live on a Sunday night to talk about a recap that saw Janelle and Kacer go up onto the block with each other once again, and we got a lot to talk about from a jam-packed episode here tonight. Happy to have you here with us, and of course, a man who is ready to go. Been talking Big Brother nonstop these last 3 weeks. Here's Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
Not pleased, Rob.
Not happy.
Not pleased.
I know.
I was promised a punishment, and this is just a regular T-shirt, Rob. I don't, how is this a punishment?
Yeah. Sorry. I gave it to Brent.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Brent? That guy?
That guy.
This is... Rob, I needed this.
Sorry, Taryn.
It's not sorry. Acceptable.
Sorry about that. I know. Okay. All right, well, a woman who I'm very excited to have back here with us. She's getting ready to set sail covering Love Island, which is not so much an island as much as love Las Vegas. Here is the great Kirsten McInnes. Kirsten, how are you?
Hello. Well, you know, it's my second recap of BB22, so I'm feeling like a beast, you know? I don't know about you.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Happy to have you back here with us to talk about everything. How are you doing, Kirsten?
I'm doing well. I feel like I was destined to do this specific recap, you know, after the like Kato Kaelin colon massage stuff in Celebrity Big Brother, they couldn't release the bidet tapes until I was on the recap.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a blindside that we got it tonight.
Had to happen.
Finally, they were sitting on that, like Cody on the toilet seat. Okay. All right. Of course, we're very excited to have here with us one of our newcomers here to talk with me for the first time this season. Welcome in Jason Reed. Jason, how are you?
I'm doing great, Rob. I do have a confession.
Yes.
I did not watch the whole episode. I just kept rewinding the Janelle and Kacer segment over and over and over again until the hour was up. So I'm sorry.
Yeah,
was there more to the episode?
I'm kidding.
Oh, kidding. Yes. Okay.
Classic. Julie Chen over here.
Classic, oh, man. Classic Big Brother 22 move. Yeah.
I'm kidding.
Yes. Okay. All right. Jason, happy to have you here with us. Have you been enjoying Big Brother 22?
It's been a mixed bag, but overall, I'm having fun. I'm just glad there's something on for me to watch.
Yes.
But, you know, for the most part, I've been enjoying it, so. Okay. It's here. That's all I can say about it.
It's here. All right. So, all right. We'll talk about everything from tonight. Tyler's HOH ultimately ends with Kacer and Janelle going up on the block. A lot of Davon in the B story tonight. Really, I was not expecting that to be such a big part of the show tonight. How much they really made Davon's concerns about being safe into a storyline here tonight. I'm looking forward to talking about that and much more here tonight. Okay. All right. I guess our top story at this hour, Kacer and Janelle back on the block. Jason, your reactions to these two friends that we've seen through what, 14 years of Big Brother? 15 yes, years? How many? What is it? The Big Brother 22, Big Brother 6, 16 years. 22. Wow.
Not to be unexpected. You know, like I said, at least we got some fond memories of them together. It's like the show knew, like, they're going to need this, you know, for tonight. And they gave us some fond memories of Kacer and Janelle.
Yeah. Taryn, I love that part tonight. That was good. That was a great segment.
It was. You know, there's been a lot of fan-made videos similar to this one, which, quite frankly, are better edited. But it was still nice. It was still nice to see, like, clips from the show back then, to see Janelle and Kacer when they were younger, cutting to now, and how they really do have, like, a similar relationship now. They were just talking on the feeds the other day about when they first met, and Janelle was pretending to be dumb, and Kacer saw right through it. It's nice. There's so much history here, and I like that they're leaning into that.
Yeah. Kirsten, we opened the show tonight with, you know, they told us, hey, get ready. It's going to be Janelle versus Nicole F. And we got a little bit of the Janelle versus Nicole tonight.
Yeah, so thank you to Nicole for making sure something happened with the have-not choices this week, even though, you know, I didn't mean to say that. It just slipped out. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Okay, well, this was the shot heard around the world when Nicole picked Janelle as her being the have-not for this week.
Okay, I'm going to pick someone who hasn't done it before and likes to talk about me, Janelle.
Oh, wow.
Wow, what a burn.
Yeah, burn.
Yeah. You know, like there's a little kid who's like, you know, kind of a brat. And they'll say something mean, like just like kind of subtle and mean. And then they'll like kind of smile to themselves afterward while everyone gets all like mad about it. But then when people start getting mad at them, they start crying. Like that is Nicole Franzel. Like she literally like is talking about me. And then she has this like smug smile on her face. Like I just did that.
And then the minute like anything happens, just, oh, I didn't mean to do that. Like the second you get called on, like, oh no, I didn't even mean to, and now it's going to be a thing. Like, oh no. Like,
yeah, this enough. Was like, she went full Steve Urkel.
Oh my God. Did I just say that out loud?
Did I do that?
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah, Jason, she is really the queen of, dishing it out, but she cannot take it.
And not take it. Oh my God, I got possessed. I don't know who said that. It wasn't me. I don't know. Now they're trying to tell us.
It just slipped out. It just slipped.
Possessed. Why are you yelling at me?
I swear I wasn't even planning on it. It just came out of me. I'm that good at insulting people, I guess. I don't know. It just happened. I can't help myself. I'm just too good.
I feel like that's the kind of thing that she probably played over in her head over and over of like, oh my God. And then I can pick Janelle and say that's because she always talks about me and I'm gonna look like such a boss. Oh my God, but I can't say that. Oh my God. But like, what if I did? Oh my God. And then when the time came, she was like, I just have to say it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jason, I thought that Janelle did not really have a counter ready to go. I thought that Janelle, I was expecting her to just go off and like take off her earrings and her shoes. And she just sort of was like, oh, yeah, yeah. And she just kind of like walked away.
It's kind of a drive-by. Like, it was just like, you know, stop playing, bitch. Yeah. Like, I'm out of here. Just drove by, like, hit her real quick with one. I was a little like, disappointed, to be honest.
It's almost like, wait, what just happened? Like, it's all like, it was so normal. And then there was just like that little jab at the end that you almost have to do a double take. Like, wait a minute, did she just stab me? I can't even tell yet.
I believe it. What happened?
Well, I mean, haven't you heard? Janelle is 40. She's tired, okay? Like, yeah, she doesn't have time.
Yeah, hear that. But Janelle, she waited until she was in the diary room to get a shot in on Nicole.
Well, because you talk about me, it's very hard to live with.
What is that sound that she starts with?
I feel like that's like a very common thing when you're like making fun of someone who's getting upset. Like, oh no, things are not working out.
I was like balling on South Park or something.
Like, yeah, Big Brother contestants apparently they don't like you to say their names. They don't want to have any. They don't want to hear anything. Like they want everybody to love them, but they don't want you to ever talk about them.
To make up my mouth.
Yes.
Yeah. If we were playing Big Brother, Rob, we would be at each other's throats constantly because we're always saying each other's names.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Keep your name out of my mouth. Okay?
Yeah. If we were all playing Big Brother, I would be like, you know what? I got to target all these guys. They can't get my name out of their mouths.
Or I'll put my tweets on Instagram from here on out. Okay.
Oh yeah, moving forward, all tweets will actually be on Instagram.
Mm-hmm. And then
I speak for everyone.
All podcasts are now Instagram only. Sorry,
yeah,
guys.
And now my
Instagram Live.
My podcasts are all on Yelp. Okay,
yeah,
putting things where they don't belong. Okay, keep your name out of my mouth. Okay.
Well, if your podcasts are on Yelp, they'll probably get 0 stars.
0 stars. Yeah, that's to make it more convenient for people who want to leave ratings. Okay. Jason, I have to say once again, I feel like this have not pick at least brings some drama.
Yeah, I really enjoy the way they've been doing it this season. Like it kind of shows your cards a little bit, and then you can, you know, unlike David who didn't want to cause any drama, at least Nicole gave us some drama with her pick. So I really enjoy that aspect of it. And like I said, yeah, the way they've been doing it is great, and I hope they continue it through the future seasons.
Yeah, and Taryn, again, we see that going first is like that's the easy one. That there really is like a first mover advantage on this draft pick of the have-nots.
Yeah, and it did seem like Tyler was reading from a card, like what the order was supposed to be. So they definitely seem to be saving Nicole for last.
Maybe they
didn't Memphis go first last time? He seemed to really relish the fact that he got to pick David as his have-not. Like, I'll go first, David, you're a have-not.
Well, Memphis relishes all kinds of things that we don't care for.
Mm-hmm.
Like the 80s movie villain that he is.
Yeah, Janelle and Kaser, that we see Janelle a couple times in this episode having good reads on stuff, not Jason Reed, good reads on stuff, except for this one thing with Memphis where she's going to try to get Memphis to win the safety competition for her. She thinks that maybe there's a chance this might work. Kirsten, Janelle should know by now, right?
Yeah, she definitely has played enough days in the Big Brother house. I think actually more than anyone at this point, that she should know better than that. It just, like, thinking back to how she played in that first safety suite to now, like, I feel like Janelle could have actually won this competition and we would have had a mildly more interesting week.
Yeah. It doesn't seem like anybody did that great at it. It seems like that if somebody who needed it could have gotten in there, Taryn, this seems like that this could have been winnable.
I think so. I mean, Enzo got all the way to the end and then failed, had to go back and then had to go again. As far as you know, that's the only time he failed. But even that, like, that's a pretty big failure. And so if somebody was able to, I mean, really, the way it looked like Memphis had gone in there, it looked like he just went right in, right out, and then just took a nap.
Can we talk about how Memphis entered the safety suite and did like a very dramatic leap over the first laser?
Yeah.
They even slow-moed it, I think.
It was like, this was just a regular day in Memphis's life. Like, I think that we have just found out that Memphis is actually a secret cat burglar. The Meow Meow is thinking that he is, but Memphis is the real one.
Yes, wow. Because in real crimes, it's often about jumping over laser beams.
Exactly.
Yes. Well, he is a renegade, so that also might be part of his line of work. Maybe the commission is some sort of a crime syndicate.
Mm-hmm. How do you think he funded all those restaurants?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That I'm just saying.
That I thought
possible. Safety falls all over the world.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, we saw we got to the safety suite competition, that the laser beam challenge. Chris, I feel like that we always like it when Big Brother breaks out the laser beams.
It's never controversial. It always goes really well. I found that this one was so repetitive to just watch over and over and over again. I was like, they're still doing this? Like, really? It was so much of the episode.
Mm-hmm. It was,
but at least it was visually appealing.
Yeah. It looked good. I mean, it was certainly looked higher budget than last week with the, you know, dropping the cardboard drinks on the table.
Oh, no. Yeah, definitely.
I'm sorry. This was the first one I felt like I actually would want to do. Like, you know, you fantasize about, you know, going to a room of lasers and having to duck and dodge all the lasers. I actually felt this was the first competition this year that I would actually want to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if it was as dramatic as Marcellus back in Big Brother 3, but this was certainly, you know, probably looked the most like a big budget out of any of the competitions that they've done so far this season.
Yeah, I enjoy these. I thought it was fun that they had to bring a huge ball.
Yeah, it was comically large.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, that was fun. The giant ball was the most low budge thing out of the whole thing.
Like,
the Swiss ball.
When they did like the preview showing what the competition
safety sphere
is, it didn't look like it was going to be that large. And then when they show Nicole going to grab it and it's like three quarters the size of her. And I was like, wait, what? Like,
it was well set up that like Nicole, who is the smallest person competing, is like, you know, squeezing through lasers, crawling on the floor, and she just barely makes it through. She's like, okay, and then grabs a ball that's like the size of half of her body.
Yeah,
it's like, what?
She had to get through those laser beams.
Ah, falls up.
Yeah. Okay. A big part of going into the safety suite, though, and a big part of this episode was Devon says she wants the safety, not for the safety to be safe. She wanted a punishment. Devon has never had a punishment. She tells us that in the diary room as well, so we should take it at face value. But this ends up being a big storyline in the episode about Devon. Is she nervous? Why is she asking everybody? Is she freaking everybody out? We see first she asks Danny, who then relays this information to Tyler. Taryn, I thought that this is a very interesting thing that's going on here. And I'd love to explore this a little bit with you. And saw your tweet about this earlier. So, do you think that is Danny targeting Devon, or is Danny trying to create a rift with Devon and Tyler to then pick up Devon?
So Danny is definitely trying to target Devon. Now, the edit was like a very abbreviated version of why Devon is no longer trusted in this group. A few days ago, last week, Devon had started to intentionally spread some lies to Tyler and to Danny and to Nicole. I think in the hopes of like testing them to see if they'd get back to her. And she got caught. Between Danny and Tyler, who Danny initially believed that Day was telling the truth, but then found out later Tyler was actually the one telling the truth. And they were like, why would Day do that? That's super sketchy. And then a few other things over the few last few days where they just feel like they're she doesn't trust them. She did try to flip the vote at one point with Bailey and Janelle and Kacer. And so that all culminates to this week when she wants to be the plus one in the safety suite. And Danny, who no longer trusts Devon and thinks that Devon doesn't trust her because she was lied to by Devon, is trying to push Devon as the next target, the next person to go after Kacer and Janelle. I think also in part because that helps her stay safe from Tyler, who she is also pushing as a potential target at some point because he's too dangerous. So there's a lot going on here that they tried to just kind of consolidate into one event, which is the safety suite thing.
I feel like that I don't like Danny's positioning here. You know, I was hoping that you were going to say that it was more that Danny is just trying to get Tyler to have a war with Devon so she could pick up Devon and get with the Devon and Bailey side to ultimately target Tyler. Kirsten, it doesn't seem like we can have nice things.
Yeah, so it turns out we get the nice thing of having Big Brother All-Stars, but then we don't get anything we want within that All-Star season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a real monkey's paw situation.
What are you going to do? Jason, that I feel like that I, in the back of my head, I feel like, okay, Dani is a very good player. She's got to be looking at all these pieces on the chessboard, but I don't see where her army is coming from.
It really seems like she's just kind of laying in the cut and going with the flow. And you would think at some point she's trying to, you know, prepare people for a flip, but she's just kind of moving along with how it's going right now. It's a little disappointing, you know, as like many things of this season are right now. But, you know, hopefully she's just kind of letting things die down now that their alliance is still in a good position. And then she can hopefully see her spot move in. That's what I'm hoping.
One thing that the episodes have not covered yet, and who knows if they ever will, but there's an alliance called the Core Four, which is Cody, Enzo, Dani, and Nicole Franzel. Those four are the people that Dani feels the most comfortable with and that she's working with the most. So though she feels that those are her people. Now, in actuality, Cody and Enzo are not as loyal to that group as she thinks they are, and they do not trust her as much as she thinks that they do. But she is currently working under the assumption that those are her people and that she wants to make sure she gets ahead of Tyler before Tyler is able to get ahead of her in like stealing away Cody and Enzo or just taking a shot at this group before she's able to take a shot at him.
Okay. All right. A ongoing story as we go through this season of what the hell is Dani trying to do? Because I think it's not a great plan as of right now. Davon, though, seemed like that she's seemed off in this episode.
Well, I mean, she wanted a costume and she didn't get it. Wouldn't you be upset? Like,
I guess so.
Give the woman a costume.
It was so bizarre.
Come on, production.
Yeah.
Especially when a costume is partnered with a safety, like you would think that just that's not a good look either way. You shouldn't be like, oh, I just want the costume. Like, yeah, don't worry about the safety.
Like, yeah, I feel like saying you just want the costume is like the level one strategy of like, oh, I can just say it's for the costume. Like, oh, I don't even care about the safety. And it's like every single human alive can see through that.
Mm-hmm. I want there to be a competition where there's like money or a costume. It's like, well, here you go, Davon. You wanted the costume. I'll take the money. Thanks.
Not if Ian gets that costume first.
Okay. Do they have costumes on the challenge, Kirsten?
No. Not well. Okay. Actually, sometimes they do like go to costume parties. Ooh, so it's not. So they'll all have like Halloween costumes that they wear, and that's always fun. In my limited challenge experience, I've never seen someone get a punishment costume.
Hey, maybe they could bring it back for the next season. Okay. So ultimately, we're going to see Enzo win the challenge. Enzo is going to save Christmas of all people, Jason.
It's a Christmas miracle. It's
a Christmas miracle. Does Christmas...
Hey, yo, I love Christmas. Yeah. Hey, yo, I love it. There you go.
Jason, does Christmas make these Christmas puns in real life, or they just make her do it in the diary room?
God, I would sure hope not. I wouldn't understand how she would have any friends if she did that all the time.
Taryn, you're shaking your head no. So you've never heard on the feeds Christmas say, like, he's going to get a lump of coal in his stocking.
No, and she talks about herself a lot, so we would have heard it.
No, Kay, just stop lying. Christmas walks around holding jingle bells. She's got mistletoe with her. She's making these puns all the time. We have to stop lying to the audience.
Christmas is just a nickname. That's not even her real name. She just has given herself that name because she wanted to make the jokes.
I just like, imagine her showing up to a lunch date early, like, Christmas has come early, guys. Congratulations.
I'm just waiting for the Grinch to steal Christmas because I'm sick of this.
Never. It'll never happen.
Does this bring better ratings? Like these puns that happen in the diary room? Like, I'm just imagining them sitting there in the writer's room, patting each other on the back because, this is a great pun. I can't wait to make them say this one. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's going to be good. The audience is going to be so happy with us that they heard a pun in the diary room. That's what they watch this show for. We know it.
Yeah.
It's just so funny when people talk about, you know, making a list and checking it twice. Mm-hmm. Cole in your stocking, you know, the night before Christmas.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like that the whole reason they brought her back was that somebody had like a legal pad of, guys, I've got a whole bunch of new Christmas one-liners for the diary room. Like, all right, bring her back. Whatever. What do we care?
They said, we have an open spot.
Yeah. Just bring her back. Just bring her back. If somebody is potentially going through casting, maybe they need to think about a name change or at least have a nickname. That could like be like that translate to a lot of different puns and jokes in the diary room.
Well, you heard that BB Can 9 hopefuls.
Yeah.
They need to look for more holiday names and casting searches. Like, do we have a Halloween out there somewhere? Do we have a, Labor Day? Do we have a Arbor
Day?
DNA
twist.
DNA twist. Well, what's the next holiday? And instead of like thinking like, okay, well, all right, they've already had a Christmas. Like, is there something like, could you have a name like Puppy? Like, is there something that you could have a new unusual name that would lead to a lot of different jokes in the diary room?
I want someone with the nickname Shark.
Shark.
So that they can talk about when they win HOH, it's Shark Week.
Mm-hmm. It's Shark Week. Yeah,
blood in the water. Like, I can't believe they tried to put me in a cage. Like, there's stuff you could do.
Never
if stop. I ever, you up on the block.
Yeah.
If I ever apply for the show, I'm just gonna casually sneak in. Oh man, you guys are tearing up my heart. Oh boy. And they're gonna be like, oh my god, we gotta get him on. Turns he's got to say that in the diary room.
Can we just like put Taryn backstage for a minute or so after that one? Like, he's grounded.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I had to live through it in like second grade. So,
all right. So we'll see if get a new name if you want to get on Big Brother 23. Just a quick break in the action to thank one of our sponsors for this episode of the podcast. Those are our friends over at ZipRecruiter. Look. Hiring is challenging. Could be more challenging than trying to navigate a field of laser beams. But there's one place we can go where hiring is simple, fast, and smart, where businesses can connect with qualified candidates. Codable co-founder Gretchen Huebner experienced how challenging hiring can be after unsuccessfully searching for a new game artist to grow with her education tech company. But then she switched to ZipRecruiter and saw an immediate difference, and you can too by signing up for free at ZipRecruiter.com/survive. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. By using ZipRecruiter's screening questions to filter candidates, Gretchen found it easier to focus on the best ones and then find the right one. Not the kind of right one, the right one. In fact, after posting her job on ZipRecruiter, Gretchen said she was honestly surprised she found qualified applicants so quickly and hired a new game artist in less than 2 weeks. That's even quicker than Janelle's been in the Big Brother game. With results like that, it's no wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Right now, try ZipRecruiter for free. You can go to ZipRecruiter.com/survive. That's ZipRecruiter.com/survive. That's SURVIVE. ZipRecruiter.com/survive. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And let's get back to the show. We are going to see a last-ditch effort from Kacer and Janelle to try to talk to Tyler. But Kirsten, it will not work.
No, it doesn't go great. But, you know, there's a lot of respect there.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you get the opportunity to play for the veto, it's all good.
Yeah. Ultimately, we're going to have Kacer and Janelle go up on the block. Jason, Kacer has some topical humor to explain why he's up on the block.
There was a greater chance that the global pandemic would be resolved rather than me not going up on the block.
Okay.
It just hurts. Like, it just hurts when someone speaks the truth like that.
This one felt a little forced, though.
Like, Yeah. What? You thought that felt forced? Mm. It didn't seem natural to you? Like, that's crazy.
Yeah. Should Kaser have said there was no vaccine that could have prevented me from going up on the block? Like, or should we steer clear of pandemic humor?
Like, I would take an experimental vaccine if it meant I'd be safe this week. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's something. No, it's bad. Put me in timeout now. I don't deserve to be here.
I feel like quarantining myself after this one. Oh, man.
Yeah. All right. So it's Kaser versus Janelle. That's the sad story. I guess on a happier note, you want to talk about Enzo's bidet?
Sentence I never thought I'd hear uttered.
Yeah. Taryn.
Well, I thought we were done with it like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah,
spritz of water.
Yeah, we talked about it a little bit on the slop last week. Of course, check us out tomorrow on the slop. We're going to talk with Kevin Schleuber. Matt Ligori will join me as well on the slop tomorrow. That's going to be live at 5 p.m. Eastern. Also, Ryan Popolo will mourn for Kaser and Janelle and their predicament for this week. But so if people had not been following Taryn's live feed update or the slop talking about live feeds, there is a bidet in the Big Brother house. Taryn, can you give the backstory on the bidet?
So Kaser actually requested it if he was going to be coming back into the house. And they were like, Kaser, anything for you? And so they installed a bidet for Kaser. He says, guys, if you get rid of me, I'm taking the bidet with me. So just letting you know.
Okay. Good to know for this week.
Yes, this was a new thing for Enzo, who at one point was like, there was no toilet paper in there. I got to use the seat cover. They were like, dude, there's a bidet. He's like, oh, is that what that thing is? I don't understand.
I'm like shocked that Enzo doesn't call it like a water toilet or something like that.
Why did the water fountain in the bathroom? I don't understand.
No.
I think this is going in the wrong place.
Yeah. I don't know.
Not a water fountain.
So Enzo,
it's angled wrong.
Yeah, is going to explain what the bidet is to any of the Big Brother viewers who may not already know what it is.
We now have a bidet in the bathroom. A bidet is kind of like a windshield wiper, you know what I mean? To clean up after you did your duties or your duty.
Enzo says the bidet is like a windshield wiper. Kirsten, true or false?
I'm going to have to fact check him on that. I don't think that's how a bidet works at all. I think if your bidet is working like a windshield wiper, you need a new bidet and probably medical attention.
Or a new car.
I think this is what happened in the bathroom. That he was like, no, this is too concentrated. We need to wipe this.
Well, and the other thing too is like Enzo's excuse is like, oh, the water was too hot. I had to just like run away. And it to me, just like, why wouldn't you just turn like it's so scary that you have to literally just run out of the room. You need to go to a secondary location because the bidet is too much.
it's a sensation happening.
He's never felt like this.
It hurt, man. It hurt. He panicked.
I just imagine it's like exclamations as it was happening. Like, hey, yo, what's this? Hey, yo, what's happening?
Yeah,
hey,
why didn't we get any footage of Enzo being scalded with the bidet running out of there?
It's not that kind of show, Rob. It airs in the 8 o'clock hour.
I guess we got a diagram. We got like a graphic of how a bidet functions in order to they wanted this segment so bad they literally had to bring in the graphics team to be like, we need to explain this so that we can make the joke work.
There's a bunch of people out there that I've never seen or heard of a bidet, so they needed to be educated.
Yeah, and it's just like a windshield wiper. If anybody is. Is curious at home.
I like the idea though of a bunch of people only knowing of a bidet what Enzo has told them in the episode, so that you know when they do end up encountering one in real life, like, what is this? And then like, what, this isn't like a windshield wipe, like, what? I don't understand.
And they're going to go, oh my God, it's hot. It hurts.
They're going to run. They're going to run.
So the scene is that Cody comes in after Enzo, and he finds, I guess he sits on the seat, which is now very wet.
Oh, come on.
Who doesn't, like, look at the toilet seat before they sit down in a shared environment? Like, I know everybody wants to just assume that anyone that you're sharing a washroom with is going to clean things up. I don't think I've ever sat on a toilet that I haven't, like, looked at first to make sure there's nothing going on.
Yeah.
Especially as he goes on to describe that there's water on the floor, mm-hmm. there's water on the door.
And it's like a crime scene.
You're really like, you were in your own world, man.
Right.
Like,
Cody really walked into a crime scene and said, I'm going to sit down.
Yeah, just like Memphis is robbing banks.
Yeah.
Enzo didn't take a nap. Okay, yeah, I mean, he doesn't.
For all the Memphis knows, Enzo had, you know, spritz of water some all over the lasers, so he just jumped right in.
That's a spritz of water.
It's a spritz.
It's just a spritz. It's on every surface of this room, but it's no big deal. It's just a spritz.
Yeah, Taryn, was that Marcellus in Big Brother 3 that brought the rubbing alcohol into the house that would wipe down the toilet?
Oh, he'd wipe down, like, everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Marcellus, Jason, was ahead of his time. Marcellus was, yeah, he was a visionary.
He was pre-corona before,
pre-corona.
Pre-corona was a thing.
Could you imagine Marcellus walking into that bathroom?
Oh, hell no.
Well, I'm assuming that he would see that and then turn and run away, much like Enzo did after making the mess.
Marcellus would have been like, was that okay? No, that was not okay. Was Marcellus okay with any of what had just happened in there? No. Enzo, this is a problem. And it would have been very dramatic. We need to teach you that this is not okay.
This is a shared space.
Yeah. And so Cody is going to accuse Enzo of missing the seat. And... Enzo defends himself.
To clarify, there was no pee-pee. It was the spritzer. It was very hot. So I jumped up and the little spritzer ricocheted, got me in the face, and it went on the floor.
So I've never used a bidet. Is it really that powerful? I've never used one.
It's not going to ricochet. Water doesn't ricochet. What do you mean it got you in the face? You turned around and looked at it, didn't you?
He had to turn around and look his enemy in the eye, okay? He said, I got to look at who's doing this to me.
Yeah, what did it ricochet off of?
The walls, the ceiling, the
you
floor,
know what?
The
this,
toilet seat.
Actually, Taryn, this all makes sense now because that the ricochet of the bidet water helped Enzo get ready for dodging those lasers in the safety suite. That's really what
it ricochets all over and he's got a limbo out of the bathroom. Yeah.
I just like how in that segment, Enzo said both duty and pee-pee. Like, these are very adult terms.
Well, Enzo is an adult human.
Yes.
Yeah. Pee-pee always pulls through.
Yep.
Oh, no. Oh, no. It was not pee-pee. They are not
in the
house.
That was the last time Calafiore was mentioned with pee-pee. It's come full circle.
Oh, no.
Yeah. To clarify, nobody will be offered $20,000 to get Paul into the house. Just to clarify.
To clarify, there was no pee-pee.
Yeah. Clarify.
There was no pee-pee.
Yeah.
Just diagramming everything that happened in the bathroom. Like, so where did it ricochet off? Where did it go to? Like, how did you get it all over the door?
Full crime scene reimagined.
Yeah, I want someone to make a full-on murder wall with the red yarn to explain, so the water started here, and then it ricocheted here, and then, your face was over here. So which direction were you looking at when the water ricocheted?
I mean,
hey, yo,
I
know. It hit my face, yo, and it went on the wall, yo, and then it went on the door, yo, and then it went on the floor, yo.
Netflix canceled the show, and that's a crime, but this needs to be season 3 of American Vandal.
Okay.
Yes.
I don't care if people didn't get that joke, because you should watch that show.
If anybody didn't get that joke, like, what have you been doing the last 6 months?
Truly.
Okay. Jason, and I love that Enzo does try to turn it back around on Cody. That he calls out Cody for bad hygiene.
You don't wipe down before you sit down. You just sit down.
Yeah, what's wrong with you, Cody?
Hey, yo, what's wrong with you, man? Like, you're not hygienic at all.
Like
Kristen said, you look where you're going before you do anything.
He should have done a visual inspection. I don't think that's a crazy thing to say. I don't want to blame him because, again, he is the victim in this situation. It's Enzo's fault. He is at fault here. But yeah, I feel like I just don't understand.
How much was Enzo just hoping to, like, get out of that bathroom before anybody else, like, went in there and saw
him? The thing, like, he just leaves. He doesn't even go back in.
That's why they just come running out.
Like, did somebody else have to go in to turn off the bidet after him? Like, was it still just going for a while? And that's why there's water everywhere?
This is Enzo's MO that I'm... It was Tyler that narked on him because he happened to be in the shower. This is the same thing as the hinky vote the other night. That Enzo is just doing stuff and just hoping that other people get blamed for it so that there'll be fights in the house. He wasn't going to say anything.
Well, he's no snitch.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, I saw her leave the bathroom. That was her.
Yeah, he was going to go full JC if nobody knew that it was him. They would have been like, who did it? He'd be like, I don't know. Who did it, guys? Somebody who clearly doesn't know what a bidet is. Definitely, they don't know. They don't know what they're doing.
Hide it.
the author. That was perfect.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh my God.
All right. Well, that was
for president. Bite it. That's not right.
Okay. All right. So, that was basically the show tonight.
Yeah.
That's it.
Nothing else happened, guys.
Not too much else. Kristen, any other storylines from the episode tonight?
No. I think you're right. I think we covered it.
Yeah, that was it. Let's take some questions.
Oh, wait. Actually, sorry. There is one more thing at the end. At the end of the nomination speech, when Janelle goes, well, that's a nice picture.
Yeah.
That was pretty great.
Yeah, they take it all very well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They did. I mean,
they've been through this before. They know how to handle it.
I know what's up. Right.
The audience is not pleased, but Kaser and Janelle have taken it very well, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tyler says something that I heard Nicole Anthony say the other night about how that he's ready to go if Davon, if somebody wins the veto, she's going to go up on the block because, and he gives this reason.
This is all stars, not all scared.
Jason, is that a thing? All stars, not all scared?
I think he was trying to come up with the next. This is a Big Brother, not Big Baby. Like, I think that's what he was trying. He was trying to make that catch on, but I don't think it's going to work out.
Right? He found something worse than saying we're playing Big Brother, not Big Baby. Like, who knew it was possible? It's worse.
It's worse. It's not great. Oh, one other thing from Enzo. He ended up winning the competition. Again, the bidet was a good warm-up, a scalding warm-up for him. He tells us why.
I moved like the meow meow would. Sly, slick, cool, calm, not nervous.
Okay.
He doesn't know the word collected?
No.
Cool, calm, not nervous. You know, the very common saying.
Yeah. Okay. All right. He gives himself another nickname.
Like the robber bank. You're like the Shundance Kid. Butch Cassidy and the Shundance Kid.
Butch Cassidy and the Shundance Kid. Taryn. Okay. We've talked puns. Is Shundance a pun, or does Enzo not know it's the Sundance Kid?
I'm not sure.
Jason, do you have a thought on this?
I had no idea. I was baffled. I needed them to explain what Shun Dance was after that. I was like, I'm not getting anything from that. Like, you're just going to leave it there? The Shun Dance kid? They Shun knew Dance. What he said.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what the pun would be. Like, why?
Even Shun?
Have people ostracized him
well,
in some way?
Well, he is shunning the laser beams, okay? He's shunning them.
Just shunning them all over the place, yo.
You know that big film festival where they don't invite you sometimes, Shun Dance?
It's like the robber bank. You're like the Shun Dance kid. Butch Cassidy and the Shun Dance kid.
Oh, no.
Oh, we love Enzo. Okay. All right, Enzo's been great. All right. Let's take some questions from the listeners. Mason says, what do you think about this season paralleling BB2? A small group of house targets at the beginning are saved from the block in week two, then put on the block in week three, only for the majority to turn on each other. So, what is it? Whoever survives, Kacer or Janelle, is like the Dr. Will in this scenario?
Well, that would be funny if it was Janelle.
Yeah. I think that that is a bigger stretch than the Shun Dance kid.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Wishful thinking.
I can't figure out how to put Shun into Big Brother in any way.
This is All Stars, not All Shun.
Yeah. You'd stick not that theory shunner. Where the Shun don't shine.
Shun don't shine.
Ryan says, I don't seem to recall what made Danny distrust Janelle. I feel like from the beginning, Danny had no intentions of working with Janelle. Would it be fair to say that whatever pre-gaming Janelle did ended up hurting her? Taryn, I know this morning you kind of did a walkthrough of this with Brian Scally on the live feed update. Could you give us the short version?
Yeah, I mean, to the best of our knowledge, there is some level of pre-gaming that happened between Janelle and Danny where Janelle has said that she agreed outside the house that she was not going to target Danny, but Danny came in wanting to target Janelle right away. So the theory is that something happened in the pregame. Danny found out some information, or perhaps is on team Nicole and believes that Janelle was spreading rumors about Nicole and is maybe has something to do with that. Or maybe she saw that Kacer came in and Janelle didn't tell her that Kacer was going to come in and she was upset about that. We don't really know. But either way, she came in guns blazing for Janelle. And unfortunately, we don't know the answer to this question.
Yeah. Kirsten, do you subscribe at all to the Danny wants to be the queen? And to be the queen, she has to knock out Janelle.
I mean, it's certainly possible. I don't think that it's something that I would immediately be like, oh, that sounds stupid. I'm not going to even consider it. It's certainly possible. I do not subscribe to the idea that any sort of like different action during pre-gaming could have helped Janelle not be a massive target in this specific cast.
Yeah. Jason, not for anything. I think Janelle really stinks at pre-gaming.
She must. I mean, she seemed to
have. What does she have to show for it?
She was terrible in the original.
Yeah. She's really the Shun Dance kid.
She came into the original All-Stars as the biggest target of the season, and Jace was trying to, they were trying to get her out of the HOH competition week one, trying to target her because of all the pre-gaming that happened in that season.
Mm-hmm. I would imagine that Danny may have seen like kind of the writing on the wall before they came in, that nobody was trying to align with Janelle. So just like, well, I might as well just be against her too. So no use of having only three people in our alliance of me, Janelle, and Kacer. So might as well go hard after.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because like Janelle contacts you in the preseason and says, you know, I want to work with you, let's have an alliance. You can't be like, no.
Right.
So
I did like when they reformed that new alliance, they were like, all in a favor? I was like,
okay, well, okay, someone has proposed an alliance. We need someone to second it. Okay, it has been seconded. Okay, all in favor, say aye.
Mm-hmm. It's like, look, guys, I'm good. You guys can have this. I'm going to leave now.
It is something that we've talked about, and we talked about preseason with Janelle, which is that she's not great at obtaining allies in the game. The only allies she's ever really had in the game were the ones forced upon her in Big Brother 6, which she then carried with her to Big Brother 7. She never really made any solid ones in Big Brother 14, and hasn't really made any solid ones this time, except for maybe Bailey. Maybe Bailey from the preseason she's been able to hold on to. But like she offers.
Janelle like made some friends in middle school and now is like a grown adult and then just still only has those friends. She's never been able to make any new relations. These were the kids that sat at her table in eighth grade and that's it.
Yeah, there was nine girls at her table in the eighth grade and they were all her bridesmaids.
Yes, that's it. Stick with those.
Yeah, I can't remember who it was. Somebody on the feeds was talking about like, Janelle came to me, but I just didn't feel like it was genuine. I felt like she didn't really want to work with me. She just had to. And this is when she is being genuine. Janelle, and she's talked about this with Kacer, that Kacer's like, Janelle, your brain works differently than not just mine, but from other people too. Like you are just so strong. And there's not a lot of vulnerability in Janelle. And I do think that intimidates people. And it makes it harder to connect with her.
Yeah. I think that is interesting that the way that you phrase like that, the lack of vulnerability, where like compare her to Nicole Franzel, who's on the other end of the spectrum, who's all vulnerability, where it's all like, I have a problem. I need counseling. I need help. Where Janelle is like nothing bothers me. Nothing fazes me. Get away from me.
Yeah.
Comfort me.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. You're never going to feel like Janelle needs you. You're always going to feel like Nicole needs you. And that makes Nicole a more compelling ally, a better case for being an ally, because you know that you feel like she can't turn on me. She's desperate for comfort. She's desperate for an ally, for somebody to cling to, versus Janelle, who's just like this strong, beautiful creature that what can I offer her?
Mm-hmm. She said, Janelle said, I don't need you.
Yeah,
she's only there with, she's only gonna have alliances that she wants, not alliances she needs.
Yeah. I will give Nicole Franzel some credit. She did have a self-aware moment in the safety suite as she was talking about the sensitivity of the laser beams.
Seems more sensitive than I am.
I don't know if you can make that out. Laser beam is more sensitive than I am.
She is a Cancer, so it adds up.
I've heard that.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is a hot take, because I know some people feel this way, but like Nicole is good in the diary room. She really is. Like, she makes good television, at least in my opinion. Like, her segments are funny sometimes.
Don't be trying to do that in the safety suite. She was talking to herself a lot there.
Yeah.
There's no one else trying to talk to us.
Like, it was funny watching her do it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that she can be biting, and I think she can give those good lines, but I do think she wants to cling. She's, I think, very afraid of being perceived as the villain. So even like when she zings Janelle, she has to be like, oh, I didn't mean for that to happen. That just came out of my mouth. Like, I didn't. But, she's capable of doing it. We would like it if she would just own it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be nice if she would own it and it was a lot more of like just genuinely being in an interaction or a conflict or something rather than being like, I'm the victim.
I think she could be way better. Way better in the diary room. But if I'm looking at it from the perspective of a casual viewer, like I can see why she is a fan favorite with the casual viewers. I can see why she is one of the more successful influencers outside of the house. And I can also see why she wants to maintain that image for those people. So it's unfortunate, but I can see it.
Okay. All right. Let's take another question here. This is from Sarah, who says, this feels like Tyler's last season with everyone saying, oh, yes, Tyler won HOH. I definitely feel safe. Will people catch on or will he win the game? I know there is a lot of talk both inside and outside the house that Tyler will win this game. That Tyler is the person who everybody has to watch out for. Kirsten, true or false? Tyler will win Big Brother 22.
Oh, you're putting me on the spot in week three. I'm going to go with false.
Okay. Jason, how about you?
And if he loses, play that clip back.
Yes.
I'm going to go with false. False. I think someone's going to catch on to him, you know, sooner rather than later. I think it may come from inside. I think Cody will figure out, you know, he's a little more social than me. I got to get rid of that. So let's get rid of him, you know, at some point. Probably we'll get rid of everyone else, like a lot of other people first. But in a few weeks, let's get rid of Tyler.
Okay, let me answer first. And then, Tyron, you tell us if we're right, okay? Because I will also say no. I will co-sign that Tyler will not win Big Brother 22. It is week three, and he's way out in front. And he was way out in front in Big Brother 20. And couldn't even win that season. So I feel like that he's almost too far out in front. I think he's too visible. I think he gets picked off before he gets to the end.
Fair. I mean, I think that if we're going to say that he can, if he does what he did in Big Brother 20, I think he will win this season. But I do agree. I would say false. I mean, I would probably say false to anyone just because that's the much more likely answer to be correct. But I do think that he is one of the people more likely to win than not in comparison to the others. But I think there are some other people that are even more likely to win at the moment. I feel like he is not necessarily in the best position. I do still feel like he's one of the most skilled players in the house, but position wise, he's not perfect and he's got some work to do, and I'm not sure he's going to be able to do it.
Okay. All right. Let's take another question. This is from Space Orchid. Shouldn't Enzo have given Devon the safety? I get wanting Christmas on your side, but they're complaining about Day being paranoid, and then they don't give her the safety on a week that doesn't matter. Isn't the move to make her feel safe and calm in the alliance? Should Enzo have given Devon the safety this week?
I mean, I feel like it's... should he have? Probably. I mean, I think that he did make some inroads with Christmas, and that will probably be more valuable. You know, with Devon as a potential target for as early as next week, winning favor with her probably isn't going to get you very far. Whereas if you win favor with Christmas, who's gonna be here for a while and gonna win some competitions, that's probably gonna be much more valuable to you in the long term. So you can't really fault it too much, even if it did make Bay.
You already kind of have Christmas in his grasp a little bit. I don't feel like he needed to really buy her that much.
Right. She's in a different alliance of six than the one that he's in, right?
Correct. They're actually not in any official alliances together. They're both playing this game of like talking to their allies. Like, I mean, it seems like Enzo's cool. It seems like Christmas is cool. Maybe we should work with them. That's probably a good idea. Even just bonding that person on a personal level, having more of a bond, getting closer to Christmas, I do think will be valuable for him.
Yeah, and it's one of those things, too, where, you know, Devon and Bailey are an obvious pair that, you know, will likely be seen that way and targeted together, whereas Christmas doesn't have, like, a natural person that you would put her up against. So I could see, you know, banking on her being around more in the long term.
Now, I saw this tweet from AJ Mass, which was, it makes me feel better when I feel like, am I the only person that's thinking this? And then I see somebody else say it also. So Enzo is walking around with this Bayonne t-shirt, and I thought it kept saying Devon on it. I kept reading it quickly. AJ Mass pointed out that he thought it was the alliance name for Bailey and Devon.
I thought that too. I thought it said Bayvon, and was like, and I was like, they really came in confident with merch. And then I realized after probably two scenes of it, oh, it says Bayonne, like the nipple factory.
Like the nipple factory. That's right. Yeah. Bayonne Nipple Company.
I was thinking, like, guys, really? It's Daily. Daily is so much better than Bayonne.
I don't know if I agree with you on that. They're both good, though.
Both good. Okay.
Well, Daily is the one I keep accidentally saying. So if that should tell you something, I feel like.
Okay.
Well, it's just like Menzo.
Abby says, is Danny playing up Day wanting to pick her for safety to Tyler actually a good move? We explored that, but probably not, right?
Oh, I think it is. I mean, I think that if we're looking at the current position Danny's in, should she do it versus should she not do it? If she's not doing this, if Tyler isn't focused on Day right now, then the next target for Tyler would be Danny. I think Tyler would try to make a move on Danny as early as next week or the week after if he didn't have to deal with Davon first. It also prevents Tyler from moving over to Davon and Bailey himself and trying to pick them up as numbers to take that shot at Danny. It really handcuffs Tyler in a way that is bad for his game, which is good for Danny's game, even though it isn't like massively going to improve her position otherwise.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Down on the target list is probably good, like no matter what you're doing.
I just feel like that Danny needs numbers somewhere along the way. And maybe, you know, if she's like going to start a war with Tyler and Davon, I feel like there is some benefit there, but I just feel like that ultimately when it comes to get out Tyler, who does Danny have?
Yeah, I like the idea of Danny playing a little bit more assertively, you know, building things up rather than building up, okay, this is a target in front of me, this is a target in front of me, this is a target in front of me. I feel like it would be a little bit better to be more proactive in building something, but she's in a pretty good spot anyways, just not like the best spot she could be in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just that I hear what you're saying, Taryn, about like, okay, well, now she's making sure that Davon is ahead of her in the target order. But I just think that when eventually her number's coming up, I don't see how she's going to be able to not have the target be her.
I mean, I agree, but, you know, I think it's better for Davon to be targeted ahead of her than her being targeted ahead of Davon, right? Mm-hmm. So at the very least, that's good for her. If she needs to pull Davon and Bailey in later in order to take out Tyler, she still has that option just as much as Tyler has that option. Maybe less so because they are closer to Tyler than they are to her at this point. But again, she feels like she's got Cody and Nicole and Enzo to take out Tyler, and she might have Enzo, and she definitely has Nicole. So she does potentially have those numbers to take that shot. And honestly, I think even Cody, if Danny was HOH or Nicole was HOH and they wanted to make a move, would go, I guess so, a couple weeks down the line. So I don't think it's a dire position, and I do think it's probably a good move.
Okay. All right. It's exciting. It's interesting, which is maybe more than we could say for the vote this week. So we're happy to have at least something else going on. Okay. Let's take this from Nash BB fan. Did Davon really only want a punishment, or was this the easiest narrative for the show? Surely she wasn't this short-sighted. It could be both.
Can be true.
Yeah.
I initially was like, oh, she only wanted the punishment. But then the more they kept showing in the DR, the more I was like, oh, they just cut. She was like, I want safety. I want safety. I want safety. And I want a punishment. I'd never get a punishment. I totally want a punishment. And then they just only aired that part. And then later they were like, and I also want safety. I think she wanted the safety and she wanted a punishment. And they just liked to focus on the safety thing in order to play up that Danny is trying to play up Davon's thing, right? So it made it easier to tell that story.
Jason, are the Big Brother punishments broken when people want the punishments? If my kids are like, Dad, will you punish us today? Aren't I doing something wrong?
Yeah, I feel like the punishments so far have been pretty lighthearted and easy. Like, you don't have someone coming in and yelling at you, like, at the top of their voice, you know, zero stars. Mm-hmm. That would be tough to deal with, especially all hours of the night.
But they like that because they get to be on TV. Go take a shower in chum every hour.
I mean, I think even that, again, anytime a player gets one of these punishments, they get a whole segment on the show, and that is something that will make them happy and make them, you know, make more of a spectacle about it. Like, it wouldn't be exciting TV to be like, okay, your punishment is that you have to go into a dark room for 5 minutes out of every hour and you don't get to be on TV for that time.
Yeah, that should be the punishment. You're not in the episode this week. No, here's the punishment. You can only use the bathroom after Enzo from now on. This whole week, you can't go to the bathroom until Enzo comes out. You have to go right in after him.
It's just dispense the water.
You have to use the bidet every 5 minutes, and so you don't have to go. Like, you just have to
that's
go.
That's a spritz of water.
Come on.
It's a spritz.
Come on, guys. Yo.
Mm-hmm. It's a spritz of water, yo.
Okay, let's do one more question, and we'll talk about the feeds, okay? Let's take this one from Will. Did Kevin get evicted in the double eviction last week, and I missed it? Production has to wish they had that casting decision back. I don't know. They seem to have given Kevin stuff. Let's, Ian went along right with him.
It's hard at the start of a season. There's so many people to show everybody in every episode, especially if someone isn't super relevant to the narrative that they're building. What are they going to do?
Okay.
Go ahead. This is one of those situations where you just know Robin Cass is like sitting at the computer, seeing everyone complain about Kevin Campbell, who all the super fans have been like praising and wanting back for a long time, and being like, ha, see, guys, you think you know how to cast a season, but you have no idea what you're doing. She's going to justify another like 10 seasons worth of terrible cast for through it.
See, I feel like we would know if that was true because there would be a tweet specifically saying, oh, you guys asked for this and now you're not even happy. He's not even on the show. Like, you don't even know what you want. Be nice.
That's a good read.
yeah. If they had one do-over though this season, Jason, who do you think that they would do?
Kevin,
like,
for
one
sure.
Mulligan. You think Kevin? I don't think the production is down on Kevin, because I feel like that they've given him some pretty good segments this season.
Really?
I feel like they would take back Keisha because she didn't really bring a lot in the
first
week.
She was the first out, though. Like,
yeah, but like, she didn't even get in any fights or anything.
Not
we
until
thought maybe
she got on
she
Twitter.
Would. Well, that is
like definitely not her, right?
Yeah,
right.
I saw someone say that she liked how the person was running her account, so she said they could
keep.
By the way,
if we could book Twitter Keisha on the podcast, I would like to do that. Okay, if we could
Twitter David,
yes, Twitter well, David I'm, and Twitter Keisha.
I'm starting to see speculation now that even the Instagram account, which links to the Twitter account, has just been a long play by some fake person. Keisha only posts on Facebook, and they've been stealing the Facebook photos to make the Instagram account to link to the Twitter account where they're pretending
Kate,
to be her. I don't know if that's
Kate,
true,
but like, hey. That's crazy because you literally asked her about the tweets and she didn't say, I don't have a Twitter. She said, I don't know what you're talking about.
She
said that that wasn't her. About? Yeah.
She said, I haven't seen it. She didn't say like, oh, I don't have Twitter.
Yeah. But we asked her about tweets that she made from that account. She's like, oh, I haven't seen social media. So that it definitely wasn't her words.
I can't put on my tinfoil hat for this.
I'm sorry, Jason, say that one more time.
I said, it seemed like she didn't even know that she left anyone in charge of her Twitter. Like, it just seemed like someone's tweeting at me. What?
Yeah.
She didn't say like, oh, that's my friend. She's a feisty one. I left her in charge of my Twitter account. Isn't that funny? What is she saying, guys? I'm so curious. She was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. I think we're being catfished.
I think it might be true.
Meow, meow. Yeah, real catfish action going on.
We can call whoever's running that account the Shun Dance Kid.
Yes, but still, let's have Catfish Keisha on the podcast soon. My DMs
are open. I can't wait for someone to make the fan account at Catfish Keisha.
Catfish Keisha, let's do it.
Okay, apparently she did an Instagram live, so the Instagram is probably her.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she just doesn't know that there's a Twitter account linked to it. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's see if we have one more. Your mama says, when was the last time Big Brother has shown a have not ceremony on the episode? Either way, I'm here for Janie dragging Nasal E in the diary room. Why is she Nasal E?
I feel like that's like a superhero name.
Yeah.
Nasally, maybe? She's Nasal.
So she's Nicole F.
Yeah, Nasal like, F.
Is it Enzo?
If her name was Natalie, I could see it, right? But it's not.
Yeah.
We
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's talk about the live feeds, and we'll talk about what's how this vote is shaping up heading into Thursday. And if you need to jump out, we'll be back on Wednesday night to talk about everything after the veto competition. But I mean, look, hang out. What's come on? Come on. All right. Let's do the spoilers.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Yes. Okay. A lifetime supply of Laffy Taffy at my house. Okay. All right.
I'm jealous.
All right. Taryn, we got a veto competition. That's not great.
Not great.
Don't say it, Cody. Taryn. If you don't say it, it doesn't come true.
Cody is the winner of the veto.
Oh, come on!
Yes, just rip off the band. One of them, one of Case Original was going home anyway. It wasn't going to make a difference anyway. So we might as well just rip off the Band-Aid. Janelle told Kaser, she said, before we came in here, I called you. I told you that we're not going to do well. That we're not going to win this thing. We all had to know this was already, this was never going to happen. We're going to lose one of them. We're going to be okay.
Yeah. What are you going to do? All right. Yeah. Let's talk the vote. Taryn, who's going home on Thursday?
Janelle. As of right now, Janelle is going home, and it seems very unlikely that that will change.
Mm. Okay. Jason, is there hope for Kaser moving forward?
I think there is. I think he'll be neutralized enough without Janelle. Everybody will know that. He'll kind of... I think he might sink into the background, especially depending on who wins HOH on Thursday. If someone that has it, that's on the, you know, not in the popular alliance wins, they might need him to get somebody powerful out. That's what I'm hoping.
Kirsten, yeah, could it happen?
Okay, so I think that he has a better shot than Janelle would, and if Kaser went here, because I think, like, no matter what, Janelle's always going to be just such a massive target. Like, she's freaking Janelle, okay? She would always be it. And I think that Kaser has the possibility that he could, but like, Kaser doesn't know how to be in the background. Like, he's gonna always just be Kaser, and so I do worry about his longevity just for that reason. But I do think he's a better shot at sticking around long term than Janelle would.
Yeah. Taryn, Janelle talked about this in the episode. I heard you talk about it on the live feed update about how she says to Tyler about, hey, like, hey, keep me around. I'm a big target. You're a big target. Let's get rid of a lot of the mid-tier players, which, okay, I guess people could have potentially Janelle still around, but then have her join forces with the big alliance. Or if you could keep Kaser around, potentially he will always still be part of the underdogs, right? He won't be part of the big group ever. So isn't that give more hope to the resistance?
The problem is that none of the underdogs want to work with Kaser. Kevin is not a fan of Kaser. Bailey likes Kaser. Devon mostly likes Kaser, but she finds him to be a little aggressive sometimes with his game talk. And she is not always able to, like, get on the same page as him, game wise. So it's going to be tough. Like, who else is even there? Like, even if Kaser did join them fully, that's still just four people. It's not really a tenable position. So I think that the, you know, the Tyler and them are probably correctly reading that Kaser will probably just be there on his own. I think the thing for Kaser is that Ian would like to work with Kaser. With Janelle gone, Ian would like to pull Kaser in. Now, Ian doesn't have a lot of sway in the game. It does. There's not a lot of like agency there for him to protect Kacer, but that's like maybe an in for him there. He's also been trying to talk to Tyler and Cody, but likely we're just going to see Kacer kind of sit there and flounder for a little while.
Yeah, we'll take a little while.
And then he'll become the greatest player of all time and win the game.
Yeah.
Kirsten, can you imagine?
Do you think that Kacer will go out back-to-back with Janelle?
It's not impossible, but I don't think it's necessarily the most likely outcome unless, I guess, a very few specific HOHs would be like, let's just take care of this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think the thing that could save Kacer is that Davon is currently kind of like skyrocketing up the hit list. But you know, he's just going to be sitting there for like, I could see Davon being targeted. I could see Danny or Tyler being targeted, and then Kacer has a chance to just kind of slide in somewhere. But it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for him.
Well, Kacer, will simply win HOH on Thursday, okay?
Yes. Do we have any idea what Kacer would do with an HOH?
I think as of right now, he would just go straight for Cody and Tyler or something along those lines. Like, he would just go. Wow. I mean, that's what Janelle was saying, that she would want to take out the floaters. And he was like, no, that's lame. Wouldn't you want to just like blow stuff up? Like, just like leave your mark on the game. So I think that's what he would be inclined to do. Although, again, as I said, he is trying to make a deal with Cody and or Tyler to try and like stay and get, make something happen. So there's also a chance that, you know, that he goes somewhere else with it.
I was reading it in the chat. Somebody's referencing nasal E. Okay. Any other big stories from the weekend, Taryn?
Bailey made a comment to Nicole.
Yes. I guess we're talk about this.
Oh boy.
Well, basically, we don't need to relitigate it, but basically,
case people hadn't been following the feeds, could you give us the short version?
Yeah, so Bailey was not fond of Nicole kind of like poking fun at David and Davon as a potential showmans, that there was some flirting going on. And so she made a comment about how it took Nicole a couple tries to win the game of Big Brother, and she went through a few boys. And then Nicole later said, she said it took a couple tries and a couple guys, and it hurt my feelings.
She really punched it up.
She did.
She said, let me make that catchier so that nobody will be able to stop talking about it.
Yeah.
She's good at this, guys. Even when it's against herself.
I think Scally tweeted out being like, a couple guys, a couple tries should be the Tyler Cody Enzo Alliance name.
Yeah.
Yeah. So basically, Davon was telling Nicole, yeah, Bailey was pissed off at you. Davon then goes to Bailey and says, you made Nicole cry. And this tension has been building, and they now basically want to target each other.
When I woke up this morning and saw another update of Nicole bringing it up again 24 hours later, I was like, this is really what we're doing. Cool.
The Bay reaction today telling her was probably the best part of that whole thing. She's like, so it's true, right? Like, what's the big deal?
Is it not true?
My question with the whole thing is any of this real? Is Nicole, I'm sure part of her is upset, but is she using this as a wedge to then put a target on Bailey and or Davon?
I don't think so personally. Okay. I think that she was taken aback because, again, I really saw Davon as the main instigator here, where Davon was really telling Nicole like she was pissed off at you. And Nicole's like, oh my God, why? And she's like, she's trying to protect me and all of that stuff. And she's like, well, now that you're telling me this, like that comment hurts even more, because she was like trying to hurt me with it, apparently. And then Davon went to Bailey, and Davon had good intentions. intentions here. She's like, this should be squashed. But she's like, you made Nicole cry. She's super sensitive. And Bailey was just like, I don't have patience for this. And they were supposed to come together and squash it. But then Danny got in the middle of it and Danny riled them both up more. And now it's at the point where, and we've seen this happen with Nicole all the time. She felt weird about Janelle. Like Nicole, we talked to Nicole after Big Brother 18. She talked a lot about how she just hates confrontation. She is terrified of it. So that's why you see anytime there's any little bit of conflict, like, hey, Janelle spread rumors about me in the preseason, or hey, Nicole Anthony's co-host hates me. She's just going to start to go, you know what? I'm just going to get them out of the game so that I never have to confront this situation.
I don't know, Taryn, that I feel like that you incorporate so much of human psychology into your reporting of the live feeds. Do you think that it is a person who has a binder of clippings of things that mean things people have said about me, is that also a person who hates confrontation?
Yes, because she doesn't confront them about it. She just keeps the she holds on to it, and she will do it. She will sneak around like a thing that sneaks around a lot.
Like a thing that sneaks around.
You guys know what I'm talking about, and get rid of you without having to deal with the confrontation.
So, what is more scary, confrontation to Nicole or the bidet to end?
Just a spritz of water.
That's it. Like if there's a little bit of confrontation with Nicole, she's gonna, that's too hot. That's too hurt.
Burns. Mm-hmm. I feel like Nicole like looks at her binder and like has a conversation with the pages in her binder to avoid having conversations with those people. Like,
she has a list.
I can't believe you did that to me. I hate you. Next. I can't believe you did that to me. I hate you too. Mm-hmm. That's what she does with her binder.
I just one the thing that I keep thinking of is that, you know, that okay, this awkward moment happened with Bailey and Nicole, and then are the wheels turning? Okay, this is how I'm going to get Bailey out of the house. Then I'm going to turn this into a whole thing and turn into the victim, and then ultimately I'm going to get everybody mad at Bailey for saying this thing. And then when I target Bailey, this will be the reason why she has to go.
I mean, I think that's like an internalized version of how Nicole plays the game. I don't think it's intentional. I often, when I think about Nicole playing the game, I think about Dr. Will's speech in Big Brother, the original All-Stars, where he said, in my first season, I hated people and I worked to get them out. And in this season, I hate you all. But like, that is what Nicole does. She just like she turns on people, she hates them, and she's like, I need to get them out because they're dangerous to my game. And then she gets them out, and then she's like, oh, phew. But then somebody else does something wrong. She's like, oh my God, now I'm scared of you and I hate you. And I need to get you out of my game. And then she gets them out of the game. But I don't think that she's actively like doing it. I think it's just like how her brain works in the game, that she just, anytime somebody does something that she's worried might turn into targeting her, she gets them first. Hmm. And she's very sensitive, just like those lasers.
Very sensitive lasers. Okay. let's see if this ends up making it onto the show. Kirsten, will we see this couple of guys and a couple of tries storyline on Wednesday?
You know, if it had happened to anybody else, I would say yes. But do you think Nicole will allow production to air that footage? No way.
Yeah. Okay. Will they incorporate that as a tagline for Love Island?
You know, I think there's more than a couple guys on Love Island.
I think the problem is that Bailey didn't say it herself. So it's going to be hard to like get the catchy line in, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right. If only.
Let's take some more questions. Faison says, which one of these is more likely to happen first, the Tyler-Cody civil war or the Tyler-Danny civil war? I mean, is a Tyler-Cody civil war even a possibility?
Maybe eventually.
Eventually.
But Tyler-Danny is like already hot right now.
Okay. So hot right now. All right.
Yeah.
Nikki says, if Janelle goes home this week, how will Kacer do in the house without her for the first time in his three seasons playing Big Brother? Jason, could you give us an over-under on the number of weeks Kacer survives in the house without Janelle?
I would say over two.
Okay.
Two.
Can he make it 2 weeks? What do you think, Kirsten?
I think it'd be either Memphis or Tyler gets it, you know, in the next 2 weeks. I think he's going to be definitely targeted. It depends on who gets the HOH, of course.
I'm going to say he can make it because, again, he's going to win HOH on Thursday, and then he'll win the veto next week, and it's going to be fine. And he's just going to go on a run.
Yeah.
I mean, 2 more weeks is jury. That's all I'm going to say.
I do think the important thing to watch, especially as we get to Thursday, is the safety suite is done. What is going to replace it? What fresh hell is on its way to the Big Brother house? So I think that is going to be the big question. And I don't know, Taryn, in the past, will they have a potentially an endurance competition on Thursday and then have a week to sort of introduce the new thing? Because usually Julie tells us a week in advance about something new. So do you think that we should be looking at endurance potentially for Thursday?
Yes, that's what I would expect.
Or some sort of like longer competition that'll play out on the Sunday show.
I was going to say, given our luck, it will probably be like the slip and slide thing. Mm-hmm. And we'll just see, you know, Cody dominate it, right? Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
But some form of endurance, is what I'd expect.
Okay. All right. Let's go to the funeral director. Is it fair to say that Memphis is the GOAT of the season at this point? Literally, no one likes him. That's not G-O-A-T, that go to the end. Jason, I think that's a little early to say that that Memphis is the easiest person to beat in the finals.
Right now, I'd probably give that to David, I think. I think David is Tyler's... Tyler's got his eyes on David for that final, too, I think, for sure.
Yeah. I mean... Taryn, is Memphis that disliked in the house?
Not really. I mean, like they look at him like a little bit like the cranky old grandpa who is kind of mean sometimes. But you don't really blame him that much for being mean because he's just a cranky old grandpa. And they kind of like have fun with him. He's also like much better and much more sociable when he's not HOH. And people have commented on that. He was super nice and like super fun to have around the first week. And then he was a nightmare the second week. And now he's back to being nice again. I don't think he can't win this game, especially with an all-star jury that's going to want to reward gameplay. If he gets there and he does it in a relatively impressive way, I think he's definitely got a shot.
Okay.
I'm operating under the theory that Memphis is a ghost, actually.
Taryn, was that Nicole Franzl in Big Brother 16 that was very afraid of ghosts in the house?
I know Nicole Anthony was very afraid of ghosts last
Nicole
season.
Nicole Anthony was afraid of clowns.
No, birds.
Two things can be true.
Okay.
Yes. All right. I can't remember if Nicole Franzl was afraid of ghosts now.
Okay. All right.
Oh, no, you know what? I think she was. They did that. They did the ghost thing.
The ghost thing.
In the walls, in the mirrors.
Okay. Let's take Janelacy Vaccine has a question. Will we ever get an accurate depiction of how miserable Franzl is on an episode of BB? Come on, Janelacy Vaccine. Leave Nasal E alone.
Janelle gave us the representation today.
Yeah. Come on. I don't want to go in the binder.
Too late. You think you're not already in the binder?
It might be. Look, I took Nicole in my draft. Okay, I have respect for Nicole out.
I get you out of the binder.
This is what I mean. Though she's not going to confront this. She's going to say no. I don't want to do that podcast with that guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's mean to me. He always says stuff about me.
Yeah.
He can't stop saying my name.
Yeah. It is my wife's name. Okay. All right. Brian Johnson says, "What is? Why is Davon the backdoor option? There are two winners in the house. I know Davon has been a little messy, but at the end of the day, he could beat her in any comp. Make this make sense, please. Any other reason why Tyler is focused on Davon?
I mean, apart from the fact that she lied to him and lied about him and then was sketched out at his HOH and people have been in his ear about her. And the fact that he tried to tell David, like she tried to flip the vote on David. He tried to tell David about it and David didn't believe him. Like there's a lot of reasons for him to be concerned about Davon. So yeah, it's hard to like blame him. There's no reason for him to be concerned about either Ian, who likes Tyler a lot, or Nicole, who likes Tyler a lot right now. And also, like, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, there's winners in the house. Why aren't they targeting the winners? But it's like, you know, just we talk about this a lot. Just because you won the game doesn't mean that you are inherently a better player than people mm-hmm. who didn't win the game, right? Like, I do think they're sleeping on Nicole Franzel. You know, it's just because you won the game doesn't mean that you have to be targeted first.
Jason, it just seems so wild to me that if, you know, somebody I was having like a little bit of weirdness with that I feel like that rather than like, you know, really say, okay, I'm going to make that person my next target. Why doesn't Tyler say, I'm going to make this person my best friend? And, you know, this is weird. I'm going to, you know, work my butt off. I got nothing else to do in this house except have good relationships with people. Why don't I win Davon over?
Well, especially with, you know, his obsession with being liked, you know, on the outside world, you would think he would make inroads to try and at least be pleasant toward her and make sure that there's going to come a time where he might actually need her. And it's not necessary at this moment to target her. So, yeah, that makes sense. You know, want to be friends with her.
I feel like, too, though, it's the thing where she tried to test him. And that's mm-hmm. a type of energy that he's not going to want to have around.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he, I mean, he's been talking about, like, he has been trying to talk to Davon. He's been trying to, like, get back in there because I think that he wants to work with her and Bailey. He does work with David and knows that David is close with them, and it would be great if all of them could work together. But he's been talking about this, like, he walks into a room and she leaves, and she gives him, like, looks, and she barely talks to him anymore. And he's just like, I don't know, like, she clearly just isn't into working with me. Like, I don't know what else to do here. And so he's kind of put in this position. Now, this may change literally as we speak on the feeds. Davon is reconsidering her relationship with Tyler and considering maybe going to him. And I think he would be very open to it if she did. He might not trust it at first. But this is definitely a relationship that if Davon is open to it, I think would be very, very valuable to them both.
Okay. Here's an update from Jessica Fisher in the chat. On August 9th, she got a 1 second unintentional recording on her iPhone from what sounds like a ghost saying, "My dear." It's super creepy and freaky. Kirsten, your reaction?
Well, I just don't understand how Memphis was able to leave a recording from the inside the Big Brother house.
Okay, please, Jessica, keep us posted on the ghost on your iPhone. So creepy.
I want more information. Also, if you're like getting bothered by a ghost, normally if you just politely ask them to stop, they will stop. Unless, I guess, if it's like a poltergeist or something, I don't know.
Okay, all right. Let's see if we could book Jessica right after Catfish Keisha on the next episode of The Slop. Okay. All right. Catfish Keech. All right. Jason, anything else from the episode tonight?
Not that I could think of. Oh, there was one weird moment when Danny was talking to Tyler. They were like, well, of several. They were like making like a tortilla on the floor.
Yeah,
the...
what was up with that? Did he get like avocados like, in his HOH basket?
You have to make all your food on the floor.
That's a punishment.
Yeah.
Especially with all the ants in there.
Yeah, I just found that very odd. I was like, what's happening?
Were they sneaking fajitas or something? Why did they need to make that food?
They had like just enough to make like one serving,
one quesadilla.
And they didn't want to have to share. They said, we can make one quesadilla, we'll split it, it's enough for two of us, but if anybody else wants them, we won't have it.
Yeah, and then they have so much produce.
I have a little bit of an update.
Yes.
My phone just rang.
Is it a ghost?
No. At Keisha Catfish is now following me.
Iconic.
They're probably following you guys too.
Yes. Okay. Does Keisha Catfish have any thoughts on the season?
Oh, yeah. They're following five people, and those five people are the three of us here.
Good.
Oh, wait, no. Four people? What's happening here?
Yes. Okay, good. Yes. I like when things move quickly.
Yeah, no, it's the four of us and Brent. That's all they're following.
Okay. All right. So we'll see if Catfish Keisha has some updates on what's going on with this season. Let's talk about what's coming up. And we're very excited to have Love Island kicks off tomorrow night. Kirsten McInnes and Brian Scally already recorded the season two preview. Kirsten, I was listening to it last night. Very pumped up for Love Island season two.
Yeah, I feel like the preview podcast brought a level of chaotic energy that I didn't realize it was going to bring. It was really fun. I think people should at least check that out. Love Island is going to be on 6 days a week, yes, starting on Monday.
Can you explain what Love Island is and why people should check it out?
So Love Island is a very unique dating show. It's the first episode is going to start, and because there are five women and six men announced, it's going to be the five women, you know, standing. A man will come in. The women will step forward for the men they find attractive, and then that man gets to choose which woman they want to be in a couple with. They can choose someone that did not step forward for them. And so if someone already has a person, they could still step forward for other people, mm-hmm, and kind of shuffle off to the rejects. So there will be coupling, recoupling. There will be challenges. There will be a ton of public votes. We have a lot of power as an audience over who goes home, and we ultimately get to decide who wins at the end of the game, and they win $100,000 to the couple at the end.
That's not a lot of money for winning a show. I guess split that, $50,000 each.
I mean, it's better than when they had to split the $100,000 between like 12 people on Too Hot to Handle.
Yeah.
There's levels to this.
All right. Jason, have you ever watched Love Island?
I have not, but I might start this season.
Okay, check it out and listen to the podcast twice a week with Kirsten and Brian Scally in our wrap-ups feed. And we'll soon have our own Love Island podcast feed as well. Okay. Also, over the weekend, we've got new coverage of Canada's Drag Race. Check out our recap of what's going on with Liana, Beth, and Amon. And then on the Beyond Top Chef podcast, all about Guy Fieri, okay? The real podcast, all about Guy Fieri over on Beyond Top Chef. Hear what they're up to. Akiva Winokur and myself answered 97 questions in one podcast. Check that out in the latest edition of Robin Akiva Need a Podcast. You could feel like you're on a long road trip with myself and Uncle Kiwi. Who wanted to stop like halfway through? I was like, we will be destroyed in the comments to do only half of the 97 questions. Not on my
Reddit
watch.
Would have rioted.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't take much to upset them. Okay. All right. Hey, look, here's Memphis. He is holding his arms in victory. He was the HOH last week. He did not lose. Nicole Anthony did. Find out why. With David Bloomberg and Jessica Lewis on Why Blank Lost. We'll find out exactly what rules Nicole Anthony broke. And then over on the B&B, Haley Strong, I believe, was on the B&B this week to talk about week two of Big Brother with Mike and Liana over on the B&B. And then Taryn will be back in the morning, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific. It's a lot of fun to have every week or every day, Taryn. What a way to start my day, Taryn.
Yes, if you had been following along the updates, you would have already seen a reenactment of the bidet scene. So that would have been very fun for you.
Yes, yes. I believe a while back we got that. So then on Monday on The Slop, Matt Liguori will be co-piloting with me as we talk to Kevin Schlauber. I talked to Kevin this afternoon. He's doing great. He's excited to talk about the season. Kevin got a great update that I believe that he is 20 months since his cancer operation. He's doing great. So excited to touch base with Kevin tomorrow. Ryan Popola will join us, and we may take your calls also on The Slop on Monday afternoon. On Tuesday night, the LFC Roundtable is back. Love the graffiti art of Taryn, Brent, and Melissa. Taryn, thank goodness, though, that nobody is actually graffitiing walls with the LFC Roundtable image.
Thank goodness that they're not doing that. And they definitely shouldn't start doing that because that would not be very cool to see photos of.
Could you imagine? You're just like walking down the street and somebody there's like some street art somewhere where it's is that the LFC?
Yeah.
Is that Taryn's face?
Taryn's beautiful face.
Yeah, you could choose a slightly different freeze frame of me that's not in the middle of talking, but we could work it out.
No, yeah. Make a stencil of that exact one, please. Yeah. Thank you.
And then imagine that wall of graffiti is somewhere, and then Nicole Franzl walks by.
Freaking A!
Song, mother freakers.
Yeah, game on, yeah. Mother freaker.
Game on, mother freaker.
Yeah. Then we will have on Wednesday night, we'll be back again to talk about the veto competition and much more on Wednesday night at 9:15. So be on the lookout for that. And of course, all this podcasting made possible by the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast. Find out everything we have going on in our patron Facebook community, Discord. Kirsten's got a cat that's out of control. People love that. I'll go full screen on the cat. Is that Vetus?
This is Steffi.
Steffi. Okay.
It's a rare sighting of her.
Yes, rare Steffi sighting. Find out more about everything we're going on at robinswebsite.com/patron. Okay. All right. So fun show tonight. Trying to make the best of a bad situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Jason, this was so much fun to get the podcast with you. Looking forward to podcasting about more stuff soon. Where can people keep up with what you're doing?
I'm not doing much. I'm on Twitter at JR1085. It's JAYR1085. Not very active on it, but if we got a lot of followers, I'll throw some stuff out there for you guys.
Okay. What's the 1085? That's your ATM pin?
That's a secret.
Okay.
I like this approach to Twitter. If they come, you will build it.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yes.
Holding people hostage. You don't get any content from me until you follow me.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Maybe I should try that.
Yeah. All right. I guess Catfish Keisha is gonna get some content soon. Okay. All right. Then, Kirsten McInnes, we know you're podcasting about Love Island. What else is going on?
Yeah, so you can follow me on social media at Kirsten Said What, including twitch.tv/Kirsten Said What. There will continue to be Riverdale recaps over on Kowski Cast. That's Cow with a K. And yeah, Love Island is going to be basically my boyfriend for the next month because I don't have time for anything else.
Okay. Yeah, speaking of Kowski Cast, we had a great chat with the aforementioned Mary Kwiatkowski and Erica Landon on Friday. That was a lot of fun to catch up with Erica. That's up on robhasawebsite.com. And Taryn, I know we got the live feed update coming up tomorrow morning. Where else can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taryn and on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. And as we mentioned, the Stockwatch Roundtable on Tuesday night should be very fun.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much for watching, everybody. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. I'll be back with The Slop on Monday. Join us live. And if not, we'll talk to you again soon. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.